Let me get into the word here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read the first four verses. This is Paul writing. He says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with elegance or a superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words." I'm going to stop right there. And we're talking about Paul. Paul, the apostle of Christ, who preached the word of God everywhere he went, who planted churches, Philippi and Corinth and Ephesus. He planted all these different churches. The gospel came to Europe because of Paul's ministry in planting churches. And from Europe, it came to America. And Paul says here that he did not come. Get this here. I did not come with eloquence. He wasn't eloquent. He couldn't talk so good. He was not with superior wisdom. He says not with wise and persuasive words. He actually says that he came to you in weakness. He was afraid. It says with fear and with much trembling. This is Paul. He kind of describes himself as the Elmer Fudd of ministry, you know, like, you know, he can't talk so good. And when he says he came in weakness and afraid and much trembling, I wanted to share with you guys when I first got started. I remember in the early days that I would get up here and my leg would shake like violently, like every it wasn't like it was just shaking. It was like everybody could tell. I was like, and I'm preaching. I'm telling everybody about Jesus, and this is how it's amazing that I should have become a mechanic or something. I don't know. So I can relate to what he's saying here. But I'm thinking, but we're talking about Paul. Is this false humility? Is he just trying to be humble, or is he being serious? This is who he is. Like this guy who I just think radically changed the world through his ministry, and he's telling us it wasn't because of his words, it wasn't because of his brain, he was terrified. Paul says, "I did not come to you with superior wisdom." And I believe I've established over the years that you don't have to be all that bright to be a preacher. I read this D.L. Moody, who was a wonderful evangelist back in the 1800s. Thousands of people came to the Lord through his ministry. I was so encouraged by this here that his typical outline had three words on it. And of those three words, two of them were typically misspelled. I mean, that's my kind of guy right there, you know. And he says, "I did not come to you with persuasive words." And then I was thinking about Billy Graham, whose ministry radically changed the world. How many people came to Christ through Billy Graham's ministry? You know, the crusades that he used to do, and thousands of people would come to the altar. And when I first got started out in ministry, I would study his sermons, and it didn't take me very long to see that basically his sermons, his typical sermon, all of his sermons, basically came down to this: you're a sinner, you need to repent, you need Jesus. That's it. I'm like, really? That's all you? And thousands of people came to the Lord through that. So it wasn't the persuasive words. It wasn't superior wisdom. Paul says he was afraid, much trembling. And I'm thinking, why is that? Is it one of the greatest phobias out there is the fear of public speaking. Typically, if you see a list of phobias, public speaking is always higher than being afraid of dying. People are more afraid of speaking in public than they are of dying. I always thought that was interesting here. But, you know, with weakness, afraid, much trembling. I don't know why Paul was afraid. Maybe it was because everywhere he went, people would stone him or put him in prison or something like that. I know why I'm afraid. I mean, and preaching is scary. Because what if I say something stupid? I mean, I know that would never happen. But, you know, or if I mispronounce my words, you know. Yeah, I'm just giving up, you know. I used to care. Now I just don't care anymore, you know. It's just going to happen. Afraid of hate mail. I've received a lot of hate mail over the years because I said something that somebody didn't like. The fear of being compared to somebody else, the fear of rejection, you know, all these different fears that you have to deal with. Most people don't like being preached to. I don't like being preached to, and I'm a preacher. What do you do with that? I read this here. The reason that there's such a rejection of preaching in this world is because the postmodern world, and we live in a postmodern world, rejects authority and they reject truth. And Jesus says he is the truth. And Jesus says, I have all authority. And the world doesn't want to hear that. The world doesn't want to be preached to. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They don't want to hear that he has all authority. The world rejects that. So Paul says he was afraid. He came in weakness. He came with much trembling. So why do it? Why not find another occupation? Why would you put yourself through this? Do you think he did it for the money? No. It's through preaching. This is the answer. It's through preaching that God has chosen to do his great work. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. That's what he told them to do. Go and tell them. John 20, verse 21, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Jesus came here to proclaim the gospel, and he sent out his disciples to proclaim the gospel. It says in Romans 10, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It goes on verse 17, Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of God. And I read these verses and somebody's got to preach. The world needs preachers. This is a very self-serving sermon today. Okay? What I'm telling you is I'm important. Somebody's got to say it. Shame has got to be me. But it's not because, I mean, as I'm reading, it's not because I'm so smart. I think we've established that. It's not because I'm so persuasive. It might be because I'm good looking. I don't think so. What is so important about preaching? What is so important about it? What was it that made Paul so successful? And in verse 4, I think we see the answer here. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Paul's secret weapon, what made Paul so successful, and you need to see this, not his wisdom, not his words, not his good looks, it was the power of God. It was the Holy Spirit inside of him. And then verse 5, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. God doesn't want your faith, and I think this is a message the world needs to hear. God does not want your faith to rest on some preacher's charisma or some preacher's wonderful words or some preacher's great wisdom, great insight. Our faith is not to be in man, not in a preacher, but in God and in his power. And that's the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, he says in John 16, he says, I tell you the truth. It is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come, and he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will take from me what is mine and make it known to you. This is Jesus' parting words to the disciples. You need the Holy Spirit. And why do you need the Holy Spirit? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? And what I see is several things that stand out. John 14, verse 17 says, He will live with you and he will be in you. When Jesus left, he gave us the Holy Spirit who is to live with us and in us. And this is why the Bible says we are the temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And can you imagine the ramifications of that? That you take God with you everywhere you go. You take his Spirit with you everywhere you go. He faces everything that you face. He experiences everything that you experience. Adrian Rogers, he says, the Holy Spirit is the Christ in the Christian. Walt Emerson, he says, what lies before us and what lies behind us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Do you know what you have inside of you? This wonderful, precious gift that God has given to you. Why Jesus left, it was so you could have this precious gift, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. Thomas Small writes, all of Christ and all the Spirit is offered to all the Christian and withheld from none. And he goes on to says, he says, it's not about getting more of the Holy Spirit, it's about the Holy Spirit getting more of you. Is that happening? Does the Holy Spirit have you? Does the Holy Spirit, don't you want the Holy Spirit to get you and to have you? So he dwells inside of us, and the Bible tells us he teaches us. John 14, verse 26, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you everything I've said to you. John 16, 13 says he guides you into all truth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's what empowers us. He's what empowered Paul's ministry. He wants to empower you in your ministry. And I say all of you, think about all the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. What an awesome gift this is from God. And why? And one more thing I have here on my list, he glorifies Jesus through us. John 16, verse 14, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And it's all about the glory of Jesus, the one who died for your sins, the one who took your place, the one that we live for. We want him to be glorified. And for him to be glorified, you have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. You have to be in step with the Holy Spirit. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus through us. This is the primary work of the Holy Spirit, to glorify Jesus Christ through us, to make Jesus Christ known to the world through you and through me, by revealing the mind of Christ to us, by producing the holiness of Christ in us, by drawing others to Christ through us so they can be born again, so they can be transformed, so they can be empowered with the Holy Spirit, so they can be God's messengers. So the Holy Spirit is Paul's secret weapon. That's what made him so successful. That's what he says. And also what you notice that the Holy Spirit is God's secret wisdom. You go on the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, this is verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And notice verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit that enables us to understand, helps us to understand the gospel, helps us to understand the Word of God, helps us to understand the grace of God. It opens our eyes so that we might appreciate all that God has done for us. The result is the Word of God comes alive to us because of the Spirit of God who is in us. And it gives us wisdom. The world offers human speculation. God offers divine revelation. And just stop and think about it. Human speculation versus divine revelation. Divine revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit. Human speculation that comes from stupid people. Okay? So there's your option. What are you going to do? You're going to listen to people who don't know God, people who reject God, people who reject the things of God, or are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit who gives you divine revelation? Because of the Holy Spirit, Christians see the world in an entirely different way than the people of the world. We see matters of marriage completely different than the people of the world. We see money completely different. We see work completely different. We see death completely different than the world sees it because of the Holy Spirit that's living inside of us and revealing to us the wisdom of God. It goes on, verse 10, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who among men knows the thoughts of man except for the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to think about this. What does this mean? Like, it's telling you, no one knows the thoughts of man except for the man's spirit within him. Nobody knows what you're thinking. You can think good things, you can think bad things, and nobody knows. Likewise, no one knows what God is thinking except for God. Only God knows what he's thinking. But we who are born again with the Spirit of God, with God's Spirit that's dwelling inside of us, revealing to us his will, guiding us, teaching us, helping us. As we walk with the Spirit of God, as we live by the Spirit of God, we begin to know the heart of God. We begin to know the mind of God. Now, I want to illustrate this. Me and Stephanie have been married 32 years now. And during that 32 years, something kind of weird has happened. We can know what each other's thinking sometimes. Like when she walks into the kitchen, I know what she's thinking. And so I get up and I take out the trash. I just know. And we have completed each other's sentences before. How sweet is that, you know? And it didn't happen when we started dating, but after 32 years, we just know. Now, there's certain things I haven't got a clue what she's thinking. I can't get inside that head. But there's other areas that there's a lot of areas we have become one. She knows how I think. I know how she thinks. As we walk with God, isn't that what happens? As we walk with God, as we listen to God, as his Spirit resides inside of us, we begin to know the heart of God. We begin to know the mind of God, the will of God. Verse 12 says, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. What a precious gift that is. That the Spirit of God would live inside of us to help us understand the will of God so that we can understand what God has freely given us so we can just worship, so we can be grateful, so we can be blessed. All the things that God has freely given us, we begin to know his will. We sense the direction, his direction. We have access to his secret wisdom that leads to blessings. And we also know what hurts God. When people reject the Lord, you know, when Jesus wept, when he looked at Jerusalem and he wept, it's because it hurts God. We also know what angers God. When Jesus turned over the tables at the temple, he knew this was wrong. You turned my house of prayer into a den of thieves. And you and I, as we walk with God, we know what God loves. We know what God wants. We know what God hates. We know what hurts him. All because of the Spirit of God that resides inside of us. Verse 13 says, this is what we speak. This is what we preach. This is what we're proclaiming, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. And it struck me here, the spiritual words. I'm like, this is all these big churchy words, sanctification, justification, all the different words. I think of the word sin. You are a sinner. You know, you can go to university, you can take psychology, and we learn how to improve the human individual. You take sociology, which is all about how to improve the human community. Anthropology is how we learn to understand human cultures. Philosophy, we learn to understand human ideas. History, we learn how to understand human events and history. It's not until you go to church that you hear you're a sinner. You'll never hear that at university. That's a whole new word. You are a sinner. Isn't that like a big piece of the picture that we're missing? The world doesn't make sense until you understand that there is a God and you have been rebelling to God. And that leads to other words such as grace. And words such, I read the word evil was pretty much completely wiped out from our vocabulary up until 9/11. And President George Bush, made the word evil popular again. But it's a word, the world didn't want to hear the word evil. The world didn't understand evil. That's a word that we learned through the Holy Spirit. What is evil? What is grace? What's it mean to be a sinner? The world won't teach you these things. These things come from God. These things come from the Spirit of God. And there's so many other words that come from the Spirit of God. What the Spirit of God, how he opens up our minds to a whole new world that the world doesn't want to talk about. On the back page of your outline, if you have an outline, I want you to notice verse 14. It says, a man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Let me read that again. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Why is this important? Why does the world need preachers? Why do preachers need to preach with the power of the Holy Spirit? Not with human wisdom, not with persuasive words, not with charisma, not with anything else. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? And I would tell you it's because the world needs a miracle. It doesn't need your wisdom. It doesn't need your elegance, whatever. It doesn't need any of that garbage. It needs the Holy Spirit. That's what the world needs, because it's the Holy Spirit that changes lives. I can't do that. It's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. People without God are living in sin. They're living in rebellion to God. They are spiritually blind. They are spiritually deaf. They are spiritually dead without the Holy Spirit. They need to hear. They need to respond. And it takes a miracle for anyone to understand the mind of God, for anyone to understand the grace of God, for anyone to understand the will of God. That doesn't happen naturally. It takes a miracle to understand who Jesus is and why he came. I don't know that it takes a preacher, but I do know it takes the Holy Spirit. And my job as a preacher is to listen to the Holy Spirit and speak the words of the Holy Spirit and help you be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that you can know the mind of God, so that you can help others know the Spirit of God, so they may understand what God has freely given them, so that Jesus Christ may be glorified. It takes a miracle. Preaching is all about seeing the word of truth and savoring that truth and proclaiming that truth in such a way that the Holy Spirit awakens the same thing in other people. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. For this to happen, we must abide in Christ. We must remain in Christ. I must be crucified with Christ so that I no longer live, but he lives in me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So I say all this, and you're thinking, I'm not a preacher. Let's talk about that. The application to what I'm saying, two things. First of all, where are you at with the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit inside of you? Have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, been baptized in the water, received the Holy Spirit as the gift that God has given? So the Spirit of God is in you. Is that happening? Is this a foreign language that I'm speaking right now? Or do you know that you know that God's Spirit is in me? And if you don't know, how does this happen? It's a basic question, right? It's a basic question. How does it happen? It says in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it takes repentance, and it takes obedience. Obedience here to being baptized is what Christ has asked you to do. And if you are repentant and if you're obedient because you believe, what the scripture here tells me, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 39 says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will, God will call. This promise, Peter said this 2,000 years ago. This is for you, it's for your children, and it's for everyone who's far off. That's us. That's us. This is the word of God. God has promised to give you his Holy Spirit. God wants to give you his Holy Spirit. So have you received the Holy Spirit? If not, would you consider receiving the Holy Spirit? Would you consider putting your faith in Jesus Christ and repenting and being obedient to Jesus Christ through baptism? Would you consider doing that? So first of all, where are you at with the Holy Spirit? And second, the second part of the application is, if you have received the Holy Spirit, preach it. Proclaim it. Tell people what you have learned from the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit has changed you, how the Holy Spirit is guiding you, how the Holy Spirit is directing you. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the good news. That doesn't mean necessarily a Sunday morning pulpit. Now, it's really bothersome, very troublesome to me that we've reduced preaching to Sunday mornings behind a pulpit. That's not how, if you read the New Testament, that's not preaching. That's what we made preaching. Mike, where is your pulpit? This is my pulpit, okay? This is mine. Where's yours? The workplace? The dinner table? Maybe you work nursery. If you work nursery, don't just babysit the kids for an hour. Find a curriculum and teach those children the Bible. Proclaim the gospel to those children. If you work in preschool, proclaim the gospel to those children. If you work with our elementary age kids, proclaim the gospel to those children. If you work with our teenagers, proclaim the gospel to those children. Maybe it's in counseling. Maybe it's an adult Bible study. Your workplace, the home, your community, your neighborhood. On Wednesday nights, we've been doing three-thirds groups, and which I'm really wanting to encourage people to get involved in a three-thirds group. We're going to do that big time this fall. I'm begging you to be a part of that. You won't like it. I don't care. I really think it's going to be good for you. But in our three-thirds groups, it keeps on coming up that, you know, who have you shared the gospel with? And a standard answer is becoming the telemarketers. You know, they call us, we tell them about Jesus, and they don't call back. So have you thought about that? How that works? It's great stuff. All right, so let me close. A couple of questions here. Do you possess a special kind of wisdom? It's not because of you. It's because of God's Spirit that's in you. Do you believe the gospel? Are you a Christian? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Today, I want, if you're not a Christian, if you are a Christian, I'm telling you, you need to listen to that Spirit. You need to be guided by that Spirit, and you need to be empowered by that Spirit so that Christ be glorified through your life. If you're not a Christian, I'm asking you today to let the Holy Spirit give you the gift of faith, so you will be able to believe the gospel and see things in the gospel you've never seen before, to see the secret wisdom of God. And then I'm asking you to share it with others. You be guided by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit in such a way that you are telling others, preaching to others. I'm not asking you to become a professional preacher, but I am asking you to preach. Find your ministry. Proclaim Jesus Christ to somebody, because they need to hear it.